Well, I don't want us to communicate this way. I want
Yeah.
the place to use the proper words
Right.
for a
Right.
change, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Gerard, do you think it matters as much in verbal communication? In what sort of settings does it matter?
I mean, in a speaking communication, we can make so many grammar errors. For instance, we can omit the subject of a sentence because we know what we are talking about, and many other things. It's very different. And while when we are speaking, we say many useless things, and we are writing, we try to be more concise. We try to write the important things. When we read a book, there is always important things on the book, but in the real life, it wouldn't say many unimportant things. It would say that, okay?
There are a lot of other things we have while speaking. You know, we have our tone, we have our expressions, all those things, gestures, those things we do have while we speak. We don't have all this when we write. Yes, we have those emoticons, but you know, they just do not give us all this spectrum of emotions that we can express while talking with our voice. They say that 60% of the message we get from nonverbal cues, not from
60%?
words. 60% of everything is like posture, expression of the eyes, all those stuff. Not the tone of voice, the register, all those things, not the words in the spoken communication.
So many times on loop, the questions, I feel like I have to do a recording, and I don't record enough the answers. But it's, as you say, the same words can mean so many different things. And the situation, purpose, and audience. And that's changing because our audience is with anyone, anywhere, and even work, professional communications are not always suit, tie, boardroom. It's pajamas and feet up and coffee and iPhone and
Right.
it's changing. So
Yeah.
is that personality? Is that the nonverbal cues are different as well. So, sort of why uniforms can make a difference in school or in professional workplaces, and the huge phenomenon of the tech businesses setting up intentionally, having sliding boards and ping pong tables and clashing with what's supposed to be in every way possible. They are the ones creating this avenue for the rest of us to communicate. So what, we have personality, we also have online personality versus offline personality as part of the game for some people, right?
Yeah, how close they are.
Right?
Are they related?
Or yeah, right. Yeah. So true.
You know what happened to me once, or many, more than once, that writing communication, because it's limitations, that we don't have intonation and pitch and all of these things, can lead us to a misunderstandings and have some problems because our writing, and we didn't intend to do something in some way, but okay, you reproached me something, you know, have a great misunderstandings.
Right, it happened to me, not just once. Yes, even in your own language. So it happens.
And the question I posted after listening to the TED Talk videos, I posted, is it more comfortable for you to text or to speak?
Okay.
That Shirley, that video you shared, Diana, she mm-hmm. said something about that. So which mm-hmm. is it? So I guess maybe it depends on past experience.
It depends on people you are texting or communicating with. So it is easy to talk with friends. So, but I still sometimes feel anxiety when I speak to with strangers or with people I don't know that well. So I prefer to text. You know, I prefer just not to talk with them. And actually, I don't like phones that much. And Skype is like the same type of communications. Skype is better because you can open your face, yes, to show yourself. Sometimes it's not good with strangers, so I don't do that. So with it is wonderful too, but with strangers, text, minimal words, nothing ambiguous, you know, just...
Do you use in Ukraine the WhatsApp application? WhatsApp?
Well, I don't use it. I use Viber. You know, mm-hmm. Viber. It's like the same mm-hmm. thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, WhatsApp is young people use it, I guess. I don't know.
Is WhatsApp the same? Does it have video?
No.
No.
It's testing.
Okay.
But you can send. You can send audio messages.
Audio.
It's very good for group communication because when some people want to set up an event, for instance, I don't know, an anniversary, a birthday or something, and they make a group and they say everything texting. That's useful because you text once to everybody gets the message. But sometimes people abuse using WhatsApp and you all then get the stupid messages and you have to mute them because it's boring.
Okay.
There are people who live to text. This is a phrase that we use to describe one of my nieces. And my brother needed to reach her this past week and he asked for her email and I said, rumor and experience have it that email's not the best way to reach her. Mm-hmm. And he wrote back and asked what was, and I said, rumor and experience show that she lives to text. So he wrote me back like 1 minute later and said, took about 5 seconds for her to answer him. That the response was absolutely immediate. And yeah. I hate texting. Now, emailing, not a problem, but give me a keyboard, mm-hmm. not this little
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not born to that. and so I'm quite humorous. Amber comes over and she and Alex will send 35 messages while I'm still tapping away. For them, it's easy. For Holly, not so much. So it's easy to understand why the brevity and shortcuts would come into play. But also interesting now, there was an article, I don't think it's mentioned in this one, but Amber is experiencing that she does not use these, except with a very select audience and purpose. And she laughs at people and thinks that shows that they're out of date and not with it. Because the tools, the technology now, you can tap and have the correct English with the same number of keystrokes as you can type out you are, if you know what you're doing. So she does not accept, she totally laughs at me if I ever send an abbreviation like this in a text message. She's like, not cool, Mom.
She's just mocking you because you are her mom, you know. Just, okay, mom. But they're trying to be trendy.
Yeah.
You're not.
Cool. To be cool.
No, I'm way beyond the expectation of being cool anymore. But it really is. And offices that have intranet, where it is just internal, it's not going to be seen. It's time saving. It doesn't cost the company as much money if you allow the errors just to go through if you're still communicating. So many people, researchers say they find hundreds, thousands more errors in intranet communication, and they wonder whether it transfers over to the internet or the emails or the business correspondence. If you train your brain to just don't worry about it. It's like typing class years ago. You know, don't look, don't look, type without looking. How many words per minute can you type correctly without an error? But don't look, don't look. But now people don't look, and click to send. and don't worry about it. So that that bugs me, worry about it part is disappearing.
I think in the future all these problems will disappear, because the technology will allow us to dictate what we want to say, and the computer or the smartphone will correct. And even we'll have a grammar corrector as well.
And those improve all of the time. You're probably right. It'll be less and less of an issue if people have the tools and learn to use them. And that gets easier and automatic, too.
I don't think that it will happen. By the way, at that TED Talk I was quoting today, so the same guy said that he thinks that the problem will not disappear at all because, and he gave some examples, because like in 1954, for example, 55, okay, he said that one university professor wrote that nowadays I can see that people do not care about grammar and blah, blah, blah. So then let's go back, he says. So 1844, some college professor writes, young people do not care about grammar anymore. So the education nowadays are just, you know, not enough for young people. They do not care about grammar. So let's get back. So he actually gave several examples, and he get back to 64 or something, Anno Domini, when some Latin guy was very, you know, sorry about young people who cannot use Latin language properly, you know. So that's the problem of all times. Don't worry. So in 50 years, we will have the same problem. And then later on, so I don't know.
But I think that's something normal. All generations complain about young generations. That's always happened.
That's right.
We heard that, complaining about young, but I think always has been the same.
Sure.
Cultural undertones are such an interesting influence. I think about this a lot. Two examples come to mind. One is that earlier today I corrected a student for pronunciation with a comment that it makes the language sound less educated. And when I say that now, with so much happening in the U.S., my mind thinks poor home environment, black children, more than white, are corrected and berated for poor language, verbal language that sounds uneducated. Because it used to be farmers' kids, white or black, but now we're less agricultural and reality is that more, not all, but more white children have access to better language skills that they learn by copying and repeating. And there is a different environment and use of language and what's heard and heard from parents and role models at home in a lot of areas. And there was the debate with Ebonics about whether there should be a black language allowed. What's wrong with it? It's communicating clearly to its purpose and audience. Why is it wrong? It's another way of racism, another example of racism. And I wondered about that because I wonder if it is that you don't want to sound black. And I'm so aware of racial issues right now with in so many directions. Yesterday we had a serviceman come to our home and very professional looking, speaking, handsome black man, and I had no problem. He was welcoming him to my home, but I couldn't help but wonder how many homes he goes to and has a problem, and whether people are insulted because he speaks well or impressed because he speaks well. And do I do that to white people who come to my door? And I think I do. most of the time I get the bubbles who say, "Hey, ma'am, how's it going there?" So I think
do people talk like that?
Equally yeah, impressed. Awful.
Really?
Awful. For me. But why? So I'm judging. And then the other example is the Olympics. Awesome. Last night, young black girl, first black female, and I found myself saying, black female athlete, wonderful athlete accomplishment. Why do we put so much more to it by saying black female first? And not just acknowledging the talent. So there's so much undertone to a lot of what we say and do and react to. So I've been thinking about this a lot.
One question about the way that Afro-Americans speak. Is there something that it's all Afro-Americans from different states speak in a very, very similar way? Like, you know, the intonation, they have a special intonation.
As with most things, I don't think you can say all, but there is a very real...
I lost your voice.
Yeah, I could not hear you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it back?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, 2 seconds only.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You can't blanket say everyone accurately, but there is a very real majority... and Ebonics is very real, and many people, blacks, understand it instinctively, intuitively. President Obama talks about this sometimes, how he can walk into an inner city urban area and immediately slouch his shoulders, relax his larynx, and talk in a different way. It's a different world. It's a different audience, a different purpose. You don't... But how do you teach that? I still have a woman who locally who doesn't talk with me comfortably because she shared a video and shared it as such a wonderful example of empowerment. And it was a video of young black girls singing a song with a teacher, also black. And the song was an empowering message, but the grammar was horrible. It was a song sung in Ebonics, written for those girls, mm-hmm. and shared. And to me, I'm not sure that was the right message, the right thing to do without letting those girls realize that in some situations that's going to mark them negatively, not positively. And I raised questions about it, and they just called me racist and said I was just being a white snob, and how dare I think that that's not beautiful. But those same girls have to go out into the real world, and the real world will not see that and think, wow, those girls are strong and positive. They need an education. An education.
Yes.
All right. This is why I say education, not education. Mm-hmm. But, so it's judgment. That's totally judgment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I do it all the time.
I'm guilty too. I do it all the time as well. So we don't have this problem, you know. So I mean the race problem, mm-hmm. but as for the language, yes, we have a problem with language with other type of thing, Russian and Ukrainian language, right? So mm-hmm. we have this type of
yeah. There must
problem.
Be a lot of that now. Yeah.
Oh, it's not pretty. Well, it's nothing extraordinary nowadays. Actually, here I don't feel it that much because my place was always like divided, Ukrainian and Russian. Mm-hmm. Now I think it is more Ukrainian because of the war and this thing. So more young people start speaking Ukrainian. But it used to be that people who spoke Ukrainian here were considered to be like farmers, you know, like peasants, uneducated folks. So, yeah. So, it's my thing now to speak beautiful Ukrainian.
Hey.
Trying to do my best.
So you've been influenced as well. Yeah,
that's right. You know, I was born in the Soviet Union. I could not learn Ukrainian where I was born. I didn't know it. I heard it. Mm-hmm. I heard the songs, traditional songs, but mm-hmm. it's just different thing. Yeah. When I came here, I didn't know Ukrainian at all. I started learning it from the beginning, you know, from the news. I could not understand the news. Mm. I could not understand anything. And I was raised with this idea that it is the same, it's just slightly different, but it is not the same. It's different language. And, we have this problem here, not the race, but the nationality kind of thing. So I'm trying to do my best to speak pure Ukrainian. I am trying to learn old expressions and the proverbs in Ukrainian and with Bajana, I also try to, you know, she's experimenting. She's hearing Russian and she is trying to speak some Russian, you know, and I usually just try to direct her that we're speaking like this, and if it is Russian, it should be Russian, like pure Russian, and I'm a purist. So, yeah.
Yes, we got the same problem in the past with Catalan and Spanish, and because the dictatorship, they were Spanish nationalists. Mm-hmm. Spanish is the language that was born in Castilla, the center of Spain. Mm. And they wanted to impose us their language. And nowadays also there's a controversy where Catalonia wants to split from Spain. I don't know what will happen. Because they don't want to get an arrangement. We have some problem, but the government, they wasn't want to do some arrangement, something, or talk about it.
Right, right, yeah. Huh. And so again, my mind is going back to how the reactions vary from personality more than from how we might expect why we're bothered by things. And but I think go ahead.
I was also surprised that the reading aspect were not, you know, taken into account. So reading was nothing to do with the experiment. So I mean that if person is reading more, so probably then the typos and the errors are more vividly seen and more, you know, he can pick up the structures which are not natural or something like that.
And there's so much research to support how essential reading is. It's one thing they're saying now. They're actually thinking that smartphone use and texting could be improving students' ability to write rather than hurting it, as so many are fearful of, because so many people have that block, writer's block. And when you're texting all day, you don't have the writer's block. I know that the reading that I do certainly has increased my vocabulary. But friends sometimes tease me. I was going to say accuse, but tease or accuse me of using lofty language. And it's...
Are they calling you snob?
It's beautiful language. I don't get called snobby too often, but it's beautiful language. I love words. Yeah. I love language. Mm-hmm. But then there's my brother. My brother, we play online Scrabble. And my goodness, his vocabulary is 25 times mine. He knows. I look them up. I'm like, what? This is not a word. Yes, it is. This is not a word. Yes, it is.
It's a word.
He's always right, dang him. challenge him and I lose. But I love sharing words, and I love, words are not lost. I mean, you look online and there are lots of words. But the carefulness, the sloppiness, is effective.
Holly, I wanted to ask you about words. I think that you wrote in somewhere on Loop that when you were a schoolgirl, you had a list of words that your teacher gave you, right, to learn. Mm-hmm. Really? So it was like the usual practice of your language teacher?
Oh, absolutely. Every teacher every year, my kindergarten through 10th grade. Not for you.
We've never done that. Never
really?
Done that. Never. That's actually...
Oh, my goodness. Friday spelling quiz. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Monday, you get the words.
Maybe because... Maybe because we don't have this spelling problem, right? We don't have the spelling problem, so each letter is... So, but I think about Bajana, you know, and how good it might be, because the meaning of the words sometimes, they don't understand the meanings sometimes, right? So actually to explain the meaning of the word and give the list of the word, I'm just thinking about the thing I will tell the teacher very soon, you know, on the 1st or the 2nd of September, to give them the list of words they use. It's a good idea. It's a good idea to learn the meanings, because sometimes I'm asking Bajana, what does it mean? And she cannot explain me. She cannot, because she doesn't know the words.
What's interesting. Interesting. Yeah, no, definitely. Monday you get to, or sometimes the Tuesday, Wednesday assignment would be different, but
it's interesting.
Routine, I don't know if it's still a practice. It was for most of Amber's years, but I don't know. But still, Gerard, did you learn this way?
No, we did a lot of dictation, though.
Yes, we did that. We did that, dictations, and we wrote essays, but Okay, but we actually did not increase our vocabulary in any way. So it was up to you. Whatever you, I don't know, we just, that's a good idea for her class, for our teacher. I will give this idea.
Interesting. Interesting, because here it's old school and not the best way. I wish they would teach collocations more. I think there is an advantage, and I love classrooms that have the words on posters reinforcing and have visual and learning centers, and I think for me that would have been fabulous as a learner.
Yeah.
But my learning style is not the same as everyone. For many, auditory proves to be huge help. So the stations that have the listening to the words, listen while you write them in the sand, lots of things that connecting the senses, sensory feel of a word.
Huh, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, but I think today for many people, and I think it matters, no matter what your profession is, because we're online in so many different audiences and purposes, shopping and buying and impressing and sharing a thought, expressing our thoughts, or Facebook where it's documented forever, I think it does matter. It does show that you care about your own presence to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe this is why Gerard chooses not to write so much. He wants to wait until he's sure, as confident of his writing. You see,
writing is the sister of talent, you know.
Seems like you have been posting more when something interests you, instead of letting it slide. You've been replying more, which I'm happy to see. But what is it that holds us back, and how much and where and when does it matter? Interesting thoughts. So it makes me realize how judgmental I can be. I guess that's my last thought. Is it really this
what can we do?
Reinforces
human nature.
That.
You are teachers.
Human nature. No, I think it's human nature. And women, you know, probably more judgmental than men. What do you think about that?
No,
I think back to
who corrects my grammar the most, it's male.
Well, misogynist type of thing, you know, but I think in general, women are more judgmental. Just thinking, okay, this girl is cleverer than us. No, no way.
Interesting. Interesting. So is there a gender? Gender factor. So what are your last thoughts there, Gerard?
I don't know. I think I said everything I wanted to say. I don't know.
No strong takeaways today.
He's a balanced, you know, Buddhist guy. So maybe religion factor as well.
No, I was thinking about... the way or the path of English, because non-natives, we are overcoming natives speakers, and how is going to change the English language, because it's more simple, non-native communication. I see that in my campsite. So how that's going to affect the language.
Very interesting. Yeah. I'm glad you shared
another
that.
Another lesson.
Yeah, and that is what's happening in changing language and pushing that argument for changing majorly to have English spell like it sounds. Why not? What a concept.
Oh my goodness, I'll have to start all over, yeah? To learn the language
right?
all over.
Yeah, that's why it's not happening faster. Mm-hmm. And the stigma of being correct gets blown out the window if you spell like it sounds, right?
Right.
All right. Nice class. Nice to speak with
both
of you.
Yeah, nice to speak with you too. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Have a nice summer. Bye-bye.
Bye.